This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday morning wake-up call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and maximize their potential for life. In the mid-19th century, two missionaries sailed from England to work among the cannibals on the Fiji Islands. They were virtually polar opposites in their theology, these two missionaries. One was named James Calvert. Calvert was a staunch Calvinist. The other, John Hunt, was a Wesleyan. That may not mean anything to you, but they were different in their views of the Bible. But they did share something in common, and that was the same passion for a holy life. They both desired others to know God and find salvation in Jesus Christ. They had that in common, and that's important. This was what they lived for. Their work was set in a grim context. Hunt wrote that on many days he had to choose between having his shutters open to get some air in the stifling heat or closing them to keep out the stench of human bodies cooking in the village cauldron. In order to keep their sanity, these two missionaries wrote to each other. It was a way of sharing their thoughts. And what they apparently thought about a lot was their commonality, the same purpose they had in life, and that was holiness, sanctification, becoming more and more godlike. In one of his letters, Hunt shared with Calvert the longing that they might both, quote, escape the curse of a useless life, end quote. Okay, here we are almost a month into the new year. Thousands of people started off with New Year's resolutions, and most have broken them. Many have given up altogether. How many? Well, according to one study, only 64% last longer than the first month. Only 46% last longer than 6 months. Even more discouraging is the statistic that only 14% of people over 50 actually achieve their resolutions, compared to 39% of people in their 20s. Now, I am not against New Year's resolutions. I make some. But why not step back and ask, what's the point anyway? You see, the more reasons you have for achieving something, the more likely you are to stay with it. How about this for a reason? Escape the curse of a meaningless life. You can strive all you want for the accomplishment of your goals, and then having achieved them, so what? Without an overall picture of what you really want your life to look like when it's all said and done, well, your resolutions just evaporate into the air, even if you do maintain them and accomplish them. It's like the story of the guy who struggled to climb to the top of the ladder of success, only to discover that his ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. Now, the flip side is also true. If those goals you set will move you in the direction of a meaningful life, you'll be more and more motivated, I believe, to stay with them. And even when you do fail, you'll be more likely to come back and try again, even start over again. So how do you escape the curse of a meaningless life and instead live a life worth living? As Irene Cara sang in the movie Flashdance, take your passion and make it happen. Well, that's true. But first, you've got to find your passion. For the Christian, a passion is found, or you find your passion, by spending time alone with God, listening to Him, taking your time to be still and quiet. And here's something I think you'll discover. You'll discover you can't be anything you want to be. Let me say that again. You'll discover you can't be anything you want to be. You can only be what God wants you to be. Think about that. When you're willing to be what God wants you to be, you've discovered who you really are and what you really want to be. It sounds a little bit like circular reasoning, I know, but listen to Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Well, if your heart's desire is the Lord, you're going to find purpose and delight in life. So what do you delight in? Is it the things of God? What makes your heart sad? What energizes you? What makes you joyful? What work would you do if you won millions of dollars in the lottery, let's say, if your money were no object. Well, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? What would you do if you only had knew you only had 1 year to live? What is it? Those questions can help you find out what you're passionate about. So what is it? And is that something you can leave a mark for others to be affected by in positive ways, those who come along after you? Is that passion how you want to be remembered? But of course, like I said, you can't be everything or just anyone. You've got to prioritize of all the things that are important to you. We spend so much of life chasing things that don't really matter, don't we? We want what we think someone else has, and all the time they want what they think someone else has. One of the things I've been reminded of lately is that many of the things I've been doing aren't really moving me towards my main goal. Some of those things we have to do, I understand that, but sometimes we get enmeshed in our to-do list and we lose sight of the main thing. So I'm drawing back a bit and rethinking some things I've been doing, well, perhaps too much of them. Is that true for you? Well, finding your passion is ongoing. It's part of the life journey. It changes and becomes refined and even redefined in different stages of life. And as you live your purpose, you'll discover you can connect like James Calvert and John Hunt did, the two men whose stories I begin this podcast with. You'll find that you can connect and find commonalities with people whose belief systems are not exactly like yours. But you see, when you get a vision for the big picture you're painting in life, well, the colors begin to fall in place. And the nuances may not be all that important because you are painting something of a larger, eternal significance. It's a life worth living. Think about that, my friend, this week. And come back and join me next week. And in the meantime, go out today and be the person God created you to be. Dragged a comb across my head.